Okay, Parsha Zohar, Tavshimayim Tef. So, here in Parsha Kisetze, right, which is where Parsha Zohar comes from, it says, Lo yevecha b'chischa evan v'oven gdolu k'tana, Lo yevecha b'veischa eifa v'eifa gdolu k'tana, Evan shlema v'tzedek yeelach, eifa shlema v'tzedek yeelach, L'man yarichu yomim yomecha, alo adama asher Hashem elokecha nosein loch. So the discussion of proper weights and measurements, right, both in volume and weight, etc. And it concludes, ki sovas Hashem elokecha kol ose eile kol ose ovel, right, because it's an abomination, a person who consistently cheats on what he called on weights and measurements, that the one of the Mefarshim says, I don't remember who it is anymore, he just mentioned it says that a person who cheats on weights and measurements is worse than Gilei Arayas. So how can it be Gilei Arayas? Gilei Arayas is, you know, it was one of the Gimel Averos Chavmuros, what he called the Arag Val Yavar, weights and measurements, Seder, he's not a Seder person. He says that the Pshat is that in the world of Gilei Arayas, the person usually acts, unfortunately, spontaneously.
Right.
Whereas this is premeditated.
Right.
This is premeditated. So that's why, what do you call it? That's why it's,
Good morning. Stop. Get around here.
That's why it's worse, because he's already planning, and this is a consistent form of behavior, and this is not, you know, you're not going to make your bundle on what he called cheating a person on weights and measurements.
Right.
But you do it consistently. It's always like that. Like they remember my uncle was showing me to tell me there was a guy called, I think, the Match King. He made a fortune because he would, in every box of matches, he would have what he called a few matches without what he called the flint kilo on top.
Huh.
And so it was just really quiet, and he saved money that way. So he would send people who was going, I don't care about this. One or two matches don't have a thing. That happens. It happens. And so he consistently, what he called, did that. He made for himself a lot of money by leaving out what he called two matches every, what he called, every box that didn't have flints on them. In any event, okay, so that's that story. But in any event, so the psukim here, first it talks about what we call weights and measurements. And then immediately it leads in from weights and measurements. It leads into to the idea of what of Zachoras Asher Asal Alcha Amalek Baderech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim. Right, that's the lead into this week's reading of Parsha Zachor. Zachoras Asher Asal Alcha Amalek Baderech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember that which Amalek did to you. Baderech, right, on your path as you left Mitzrayim, when you're leaving Mitzrayim. Asher korcha baderech, so we'll see what he called korcha, right? So the korcha is probably a terminology, a terminology, so Rashi says, a lashon of mikre, right? Mikre. Asher korcha baderech, right? Now, it doesn't mean he chanced upon you,
right?
Because we know he premeditatedly came,
right?
So we have to see why use the terminology, of mikre, of chance, when he obviously is, whatever he's doing is not by chance; it's premeditated. Asher korcha baderech, vayizanev becha kol anecha sholim acharecha, and he vayizanev, zanav is the tail. He struck your tail, kilu vayizanev becha, did some sort of makazanav, some sort of blow, what he called, to the tail. Kol nechasholim acharecha, right? Nechasholim is also an interesting word, or the nechasholim, right? It's not miloshon michshol, it's with a ches, not a chof, right? It's not the people who have stumbled. Nechasholim acharecha. So we'll see, Rashi talks about the idea that they were spat out by what he called, like fished out, like separated, right, from the anan, in other words, because of their lower madrega, of their lower madrega. Although the lower madrega. It says, "Kolin achasholim acharecha." Right, those who are kilu will see Rashi, a lashon that, you know, kilu drawn out, right, or separated out from the anan. Ata ayev v'yageya, and you are tired and weary. V'lo yarei Elokim, and not God fearing. And this is becomes a discussion, right? This last part of the pasuk, right? Ata v'ata ayev v'yageya, v'lo yarei Elokim, so that. This really becomes an interesting point of discussion because Ata Yefi Ageh, you are tired and weary, right? Or Rashi says tired from thirst and what he called and weary from traveling, etc. Now, it's hard to understand why this should be included in the discussion. I mean, the fact that he had attacked when we were tired and weary is like, you know, well, what do you want him to do? I mean, I'm not saying this makes him into a tzaddik, but what do you call? But this is standard warfare, right? Standard warfare. I mean, mail that he attacked. Okay, we understand. What he called premeditated. What he called he was against. What he called what Jewish people stood for. That's all fine, and that's not fine and dandy. But it's, at least we understand, you know, why we're talking about this. But the fact that he attacked when we were tired and weary, you know, well, as my, he should wait until we were all built up and strong, etc. It's a little difficult to understand. And then v'lo yarei Elokim, and not God fearing. So we'll see. This is actually discussion. It really is a discussion, both in the midrashim and in the mefarshim. Who's it going on? Mm-hmm. Right? Rashi says it's going on Amalek, but that's not the natural reading of the pasuk. Right? The natural reading of the pasuk implies that it's going on whoever was ayefa yigeh is also v'lo yarei Elokim. Right? With meaning klal Yisrael v'lo yarei Elokim. And again, this is also discussed in both in the Midrashim and in the Mefarshim. There are those who say that the Lo Yarei Elokim is going on Amalek, like Rashi says, and there are others who say that it's going on Klal Yisrael. Vayab aniach Hashem lokecha lecha mikol oyvecha ba'aretz, yeah, asher Hashem lokecha nosin lach nachalo l'rishta timche zeichra Amalek mitachas Hashamayim lo tishkach. And when Hashem as it were, relieves you, you know, from all of your other enemies in the land that you're living, right? Destroy the Zeich of Amalek, mitachas Shamayim, right? From underneath the heavens, lo tishkach, right? You should not forget, etc. You should remember it in your heart, and what he called. And once a year, we gather together to be Zochor et Bepeh, to be Zochor Bepeh. Okay? Zachor, Eis Asher Asalacha, right? Fine. That's our parsha here. That's where the mitzvah neraisa of Parsha Zachor is from Parshas Kisetze in Dvarim. The initial parsha of where it took place is in Parshas Beshalach. Well, we've discussed that many times before. But we should see once again just the group of psukim there. It says Vayisu kol adats bnei Yisrael mimidbar sin lemaseyem al pi Hashem vaychanu berefidim v'ein mayim l'shtos ha'am. So what he called, they traveled, yeah, they traveled, l'maseim, al-pi Hashem, right, Hashem is directing them, v'yachanu, and they encamp, b'refidim, v'ein mayim l'shtos ha'am. There's no water to drink, what he called, the pasuk needs more explanation, but it's not our topic at the moment, right, there was no water for them to drink. V'yarev ha'ami Moshe, and they argued, the people argued with Moshe, v'yamru tznu lanu mayim, give us water, v'nishtem, we'll drink. Why are you arguing with him? Why are you testing Hashem? Right? It's an interesting thing. What is this after testing Hashem? This is testing Hashem. What do you call it? Why are you quenching? Just whatever. Testing Hashem. And they were thirsty there for water. And they complained. Why have you taken us out of Mitzrayim? Pasuk switches from the plural to the singular. Okay, again, not our discussion at the moment, right? To take us out of Mitzrayim, to cause us to die, and what he called in our children and all of our flocks, we should die in thirst. Yitzak Moshe El Hashem, and Moshe called out to Hashem. Davin, he says, Ma'aseh l'amazeh od ma'at uskaluni. What will I do with this nation right over here? Oh, one more moment, you know, and they're going to stone me. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Avor lifnei Ha'am, pass before the nation. V'kach itcha mizikne Yisrael, umatcha asher kisa bosi ort, kach miyatcha v'alachta. Right, go, what do you call, pass in front of the people, and take with you the skenim, the elders, and the staff with which you struck the needles, the Nile, right, where that Aaron used to strike the Nile. Take it with you. And Neil Medel Fanecha Shamalat Sur, I'll be there before you upon the rock, Bechorev, right? Bechorev, Ikisa, Batsur, Liatsu, Mimeno Maim, you'll strike the rock, and the water will come out, Vashasa, and the people will drink, Vayas, Kain Moshe, and Lene Zikin Israel. And he did this in the face of all Zikin Israel. Again, what do you call it? Why would Dafka Zikin Israel? What do you call it? Isn't, don't all, aren't all Kal Israel there? But et cetera, we'll see.
What's the difference between Tzur and Sela?
A Tzur, right? A Tzur, the Rambam says, is a particularly hard rock, and it's a source. Mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah is called the Tzur.
Mm-hmm.
A Tzur. So why would you use it over here, right? Call it this, right? It's an interesting point. Right? Why would you call it, right? Vikisa. And I'm sure what you call it, they talk about it. Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Masom Riva, and they call the place, you know, of testing and argument, Al Riv Bnei Yisrael, the argument, you know, that Bnei Yisrael made with Hashem, Val Nasosam is Hashem, and they're testing of Hashem, Lemor Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu Im Ayin. They're testing to see if Hashem was in their midst or not. That's what they said. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu Im Ayin. Is Hashem in our midst or not? Or Im Ayin. Or Ayin is what he called, I mean, means not in this context. Ayin B'derech Kalal means what he called, you know, like emptiness, nothingness. Right? Nothingness. Ayin. Right? From Vayavu Amalek Vayilachim Yisrael Berefidim. And the immediate pasuk right after that is that Amalek came and what he called an attack B'nai Yisrael Berefidim. Berefidim. So we have juxtaposed to the mitzvah of the Zechiras Amalek, we have the mitzvah, we have the discussion of the Avera of weights and measurements, false weights and measurements, right? False weights and measurements. And in Shmos, just prior to the actual event taking place, we have the discussion of Bnei Yisrael complaining, and basically it's all summed up by saying they were saying, is Hashem in our midst or not? Fine. So now listen to this very interesting Yalkut. This is the Yalkut from Kisese, right? From where Parshas Zohar comes from. With Pinchas Omer, Ach Arboim Shana, Ratza Moshe, Lomer Lehen Yisrael, Zechurim Atem Masha Martim, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu. Moshe wanted to say at the end of 40 years, again, because Devarim is really cool, is written at the end of 40 years. Sefer Devarim is written at the end of 40 years. And that's where the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Molech is found, right? And, you know, Shmos, B'Shalach, is before they received the Torah. So mm-hmm. It's in the very beginning of their living Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm.
So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say to them, right, Zechurim Atem Mashamartem Ayesh Hashem Bekimenu. Do you remember what you said at the beginning of our dealings here, 40 years ago, Ayesh Hashem Bekimenu, is Hashem in our midst or not? Ella Omar Moshe Imani Omer Lehem Kain Kach. If I say to them in such a fashion, right, Hashem Yish Hashem Bekirbeinu, do you remember that you said that? Is God in our midst or not? Yeah. Hareini Malvin Pneim. I'll embarrass them. I'll cause their faces to blanch. Right. Ani Malvin Pneim. Well, Malvin upon him ain't lo chelik ol maba. Person who's Malvin Pnei Chaveru Barabim. Goes without saying, you know, that if you're going to be malbin all of the faces of Bnei Yisrael, so for sure that compromises your olam haba. I'll be malbin pnei chavero in lechelik haba. Mashal abad davardom. What is it comparable? Says what he called, says the midrash. Doma lemelech shahayelo pardes echad vakelev kosher bapesach apardes umabid bechol mashu bapardes. Nichnas ovo shel melech lignov min hapardes. This is a very interesting thing. What is it comparable to? To a king who had an orchard. And the orchard, what he called, obviously it was a very special orchard, and he built a wall around it. And what he called, and at the gateway, at the entranceway to what he called to the pardes, at the entranceway to the orchard, he tied a dog. And the dog is looking about everything that's going on in the parties. Right? Everything that's going on in the parties. And Nichnas Ovo Shomelch Lignov Min HaPardes. And the Oav of the Melech, the beloved of the Melech, decided he wanted to steal something from the Pardes. My happen, what happened? Shisabo, right? Near what he called Shisabo as a Kelev the Kara Begadav. So the Melech unleashed the, what he called the dog, right? Unleashed the dog, and what he called, and the dog went and attacked the favorite of the Melech, right? And tore his clothes. Shisabo as a Kelev the Kara Begadav. Amra Melech Imanio Melo Avi Lamanechtas Latoka Pardeshili. If I say to the, what he called, to the one who my favorite, that why did you go into the Pardes? Why did you go in without permission into my orchard? Harani Malbin is part of. I'll embarrass him, right? I'll embarrass him. Ela Omer Har Isa Kelv Shote Hech Karas Begadecha. Instead, I'll say to him, do you see that crazy dog? Right? Do you see that crazy dog? How he tore your pants? Miyadu Mavin Ma Asa. Immediately, what you call it, the favorite of the Melech understands what the problem is, right? Kach Omer Moshe Areni Omer Yisrael Zechores Asher Asolecha Malek. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's why, what you call it, that's what I'm going to say. Instead of saying, remember that you said, right, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, instead I'll tell you, remember what Amalek did to you. Right? So this is very interesting. It's linking Amalek's attack to what Klal Yisrael did, right? It makes it sound as though it's a punishment. So why in the world, what do you call it, is there a reason, right, to wipe out Amalek if they're only just an agent, as it were, of Hashem to punish the Jewish people for what they did? But plus that, what is that, what do you call it, what does the idea of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu has to do with a mashal, such a strange mashal, coming to steal from the king's, what do you call it, from the king's orchard? Trying to steal from the king's orchard? Seems very strange. To steal from the king's orchard.
Questioning his presence in their midst?
Right. Was that after Koy? What was questioning his presence in their midst from stealing the king's orchard? It's interesting. So let's see. Truth is, I just now thought of an answer to Derech HaPshat rather than Derech HaSod, which I saw people here bringing it. Perhaps that's just even a better way to go. Okay, let's see. Says the Sisse Cohen from Tzfas. Obra Medrash Zachor. Omri Yisrael. Achata Omer Lanu Zachor. Atosh Ein Shikcha. Livnei Kisif Chodecha. Zachor Hashem Livnei Edom. It's a Medrash, right? The Medrash says, right? It's also in the Yalkut. Yeah? The Bnei Yisrael said, as long as you are telling us Zachor, right, to remember that which Abba did to us, and Atosh Ein Shikcha Lefnei Chodecha, we don't have to tell you to remember, right? Because there is no omission, there is no forgetting, right, before your Kisei HaKavod. So remember actively Livnei Edom, that which we call the Edomites did to us. After all, Malik is a descendant of Edom. The Kol Kach Lama Lefi Sheba Bekoach Zkeno Esav Shebircho Avi VaAmalo VaHaya Kasher Tarid. Oh, so what's that talking about, right? So take a look see, right, down below in the notes there. So this is what he called these psukim. Are the psukim, or the specific mispasuk, is after Yaakov Avinu received the brachas from Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak came, and then Esav came in. He says, "Give me a bracha," and Yitzchak tells him, "I already gave the bracha to what he called your brother Yaakov." He says, "You don't have a bracha left for me, right?" And says, "Al charbecha tichya." So Yitzchak instead tells him, "Recall, I'll give you a different type of bracha." Right, Achar b'chatichi, you live by the sword, and your what do you call it, and your brother will rule over you. Vesachicha ta'avod. You see that underneath what he called the footnote there at the bottom. Vesachicha ta'avod, and your brother you shall serve. Vayash akir kasher tarid ufaraktu ulo mi'al tzavarecha. Right? Vayash kasher tarid. So what is tarid? Tarid. What does it mean, tarid? It's something to do with Esav. Right? When you will be tarid, okay, uforakta ulo me'al tzavarecha, you will remove Yaakov's yoke from upon your neck. So what does that mean, kasher tarid? So the unkelus, the targum over there says, v'alchar b'chad, teichi, you will live by your sword, v'yasachuch tiflach, and you will serve your brother, v'hi kad yavrun b'noi, al pizgomei oraisa, when his children, i.e. when Yaakov's children, go transgress the words of the Torah, then you will throw off the yoke from upon your neck. So this is a very interesting thing, right? The Targum is telling us Esav will throw off the yoke of Yaakov's domination when Bnei Yisrael stop keeping the mitzvos properly. Now, what does that have to do with Tarid? Tarid is something addressed to Esav. Yeah, the pasuk says, "Vaya kasher tarid." That's in the second person. Kasher tarid, yeah. Uforakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. Then you throw off your yoke. And the targum is the targum when they stop keeping Torah. What do you mean tarid? First of all, I don't know why what it has to do with tarid, but what do you call? But it's also it's addressing something that Bnei Yisrael do, and the pasuk is talking about what Esav is doing. Kasher tarid. So Rashi says, Vashir ka tarid, loshon tsar. Right? Rashi says the word tarid means when Esav gives expression to his tsar. As the pasuk says, in Tehillim, arid bisichi, klomer, geshiyavu Yisrael ala Torah, listen to this, geshiyavu Yisrael ala Torah, when the Jewish people are over on the Torah, so Rashi's bringing in the Targum, right? Remember, because the Targum didn't mention anything about what Esav is going to do. He just says that when the Bnei Yisrael stop keeping the Torah, that he's going to throw off their yoke, but that doesn't fit the pasuk. Rashi brings in now, kasher tarid is a lashon of tsar. When Esav experiences tsar, as it said, arid b'sichi, klomer, kesheyavur Yisrael ha-Torah, when Klal Yisrael is over on the Torah, v'yeh lecha pischon peh lihitztayer ala brachos, and you will have a pischon peh, you will have an opportune opening to mitzar on the brachos, shenotal, what he called that Yaakov took, uforaktu lo, etc. So Rashi says, kilu, the combination of two things here. When the Jewish people stop keeping the Torah the way they should, then Esav will experience tsar. Esav will experience tsar. Right? And when he experiences that tsar, he'll have the ability to throw off the yoke of Yaakov's dominion. Okay, fine. Says the Gur Aryeh in that pasuk over there, back in Parshas, what do you call Parshas Toldos. Says Gur Aryeh, the Maral's explanation of Rashi, the final citation there on the bottom page. Kolma kishyavru, de ein lo mafila lo yavru la Torah. The Gur Aryeh is coming to explain. What do the things have to do with each other? Esav is mitzayer. Esav is upset. Esav is sad that he didn't get the brachos, regardless of Klal Yisrael keeps the Torah, doesn't keep the Torah. Right? Since my name is Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, what we're talking about, Klal Yisrael not keeping the Torah, Esav's tsar is exists regardless. So says the Maral, no. The ain lo marfilo lo yavra la Torah. The ain other mitzayer im roe acher matzliach. V'hu roe shiye matzliach. If you see somebody who is successful, right, but he is what he called, he's putting all the effort in. It's so clear that he's putting in all the effort. So you're not mitzayer. You don't get bent out of shape because he's mitzayer. Because you see what he called, he's being mitzayer. He's doing everything he can and he's successful. You're not doing it to mitzayer. What he called, I'm going to be mitzayer. What he called, because you feel I'm mitzayer. I chose not to do it. So fine. So I'm not successful like him, but he's living his life the way he's living his life. I don't want to live that type of life. Okay? But if a person is being matzliach, and what do you call it? And he's not what do you call struggling, right, to do that which is in this case the will of Hashem. He's a Rasha. As with Starel, a Rasha, a Rasha Matzliach. Who ain't a Matzliach? So if one Rasha sees another Rasha being Matzliach, right? He says, "Why is he Matzliach? I'm not Matzliach. Mm-hmm. Why is he successful? I'm not successful." The Chin Kasher Tarid wrote to Loma Kasher Titzayir al Abrachos Vizeshli Kaim Yisrael at Torah. In other words, Esav's we call Tsar, Esav's Tsar, right? Esav's we call, you know, in other words, he could. I mean, obviously, he's not happy. In fact, that Yaakov is successful. Okay, but he called, to get bent out of shape. What he called, I didn't want to live the way Yaakov wanted to live. Yeah, Yaakov wants to live. Yosef, Yaakov Ishtam, Yosef Olim, etc. He's always like, I'm learning. He's always doing mitzvahs, etc. I didn't want to live that type of life. I didn't want to live that type of life. So then, when he calls, then okay, he's Matzliach. You know, maybe a little bit it bothers me, but I'm not a bit tsar. I'm living my life. I'm talking to my life. But when he's not living the life that he's supposed to be living, and he's successful, that's what he calls. That's when Esav really gets bent out of shape. Right? Why should he be successful? He's not living up to his job description. Why should he be successful? Why should he be successful? So now let's go back to the Sifsei Kohen. Once again, Od Ben Medrash, start at the beginning. Omri Yisrael Ad Shata Omer Lanu Zechor Ata She'ein Shikha Ata She'ein Shikha Lefnei Kisiv Gnes Zechor Hashem Lefnei Edom Lekokach Lam Lefi Sheba Bekoach Zkeno. So the Sifsei Kohen is saying, right? You're asking us to remember what Amalek did. You Hashem, who don't forget anything, remember that which Edom did, right? And why? Why should you remember? Because he's coming with the koach of his zake, which it says v'haya kasher tarid, when he is what he called kitargumo. Which means that the what he calls Sifsei Kohen is telling us that Hashem, remember what he did to us, right? In the context of our not keeping Torah. Interesting. V'chein haya sheba b'refidim kesherofu yodeim min haTorah. And that's why, right? When the psukim, record that we saw, before, that preceded what he called the attack of Amalek in Parshas Beshalach. So it says they came to Rafidim. So Chazal say, why is it called Rafidim? Sherofu yedei min haTorah. The hands became weak in Torah. V'zeu asher korcha. Shepaga v'cha b'lo eis rotzon. Shepaga v'cha, right? In other words, asher korcha, he attacked you in the state of mikra. Not by chance he attacked you. He attacked you in the state, in the experiential, in the existential state of mikra. Shepag b'cha below eis ratzon. It wasn't a period of ratzon, of connection, right, to what he called between the Jewish people and the Rabbon Shalom. Asher korcha, shepag b'cha below eis ratzon. There's the word asher korcha baderech, right? Doesn't mean by chance he attacked you. He attacked you when you were in a state of mikra. Right? You weren't in a state of ratzon. In other words, the Jewish people, by dint of their receiving the Torah, have the ability to live on a different plane of existence. They live in a plane of existence called Eis Ratzon, a time of what he called of unification of the ratzon, the will of Hashem, what he wants from man, and what he called and the behavior of the Jewish people. That's a zman of ratzon. That's a zman of where Hashem. That's it's not just a time period. It's an entire plane of existence. That plane of existence that what he called that travels through time. The Jewish people are living in Eis Ratzon. When we are living in a state like that, then what he called then Amalek can't touch us. Right, he can't touch us. But when we are in a state of mikra, rafu yadenu min haTorah, so then he can attack. Vayizanim b'chol kol anechasholim acharecha, and he attacked, yeah, as it were, a rear attack. Kol anechasholim acharecha, all those were spat out. Amru Chazal, ze shivto shel Dan. This is what he called the Shevet of Dun, Shepolton Heanon, right? That were spat out by what he called the clouds of glory. Shaya Ov de Avodah Zarah. They were what he called, they were idol worshippers. Im Kain, amongst the Rajbush, Im Kain, Asher Korcha, what does it mean that he attacked us, right? God Korcha, Asher He Kircha Bifnei Ha'umos. Interesting. In other words, Asher Korcha, right? Korcha, in other words, the Jewish people were traveling on a plane of what he called of direct connection to Hashem. They came to Rafidim. They came to the, what he called, to this place called Rafidim. Chazal say, Sherafu Yadayim in a Torah. Their hands became weak from Torah. Once their hands became weak from Torah, so now Amalek has the ability to attack. Because now the Jewish people are not living in the, what he called, in the higher plane of what he called, of the connection to Hashem, of living with the Ratzon Hashem. Instead, they have descended into the normal plane, which appears to be the plane of chance. It looks like Mikra, right? So Asher Korcha Baderech, Korcha Baderech is what he called, they can deal with us, they can attack us in the world of chance that we've now descended to. And at the same time, that cools us off vis-a-vis all the nations. In other words, it ruins our reputation because it shows we're not living on this higher plane. Instead, we've descended into the plane of what he called, of where it looks like everything is chance. So the word korcha is pregnant with a lot of different meaning, right? The fact that the Jewish people, as it were, look like they're living on the plane of mikra, of chance. They look like they're living on the plane of chance, yeah? And at the same time, Amalek is able to attack them, and Amalek is able to attack them, and now they're now cooled off. Hekircha bifnei umos. Now the Jewish people look in the eyes of the nations of the world as though we're just one nation like everybody else. Mashal Ambati, the famous mashal that what he calls like a bathtub, boiling hot bathtub. Shelo haisa biri yechola leirid lesocha. No creature can walk into it. Uba ben Belial, and they came along one what he called person who was not afraid of anything. Right, the kafat lesocha jumped into it. Even though what he called he was burned, right? Hekira bifnei acherim, he cooled it off for everybody else. In other words, what he called, there is over here what we have. What he called, what do we see being revealed in front of us? The Jewish people, as it were, are now what he called the rafu yadim in a Torah. Right? Their hands become weak in Torah. Their hands become weak in Torah. And as a result, now Amalek, now attacks. Now, if we go back to remember what we saw in Parshas Toldos, right, that we saw before, that Esav, that's when Esav is really mistire. That's what really bugs Esav out. And it's when the Jews are living always in the base medrash, right, always in the base medrash, and they're learning Torah, and their lives are beseder. So Esav, you know, maybe he's not happy about it, but he doesn't get bugged out of his gazoo. Why? Because what do you call it? I didn't want to live that type of life. I didn't want to live that type of life. Right? So they're Seder. So they're successful with what they do. Seder. They have their life. I got my life. I got what he called. I live the fast lane. They don't want to live in the fast lane. They want to, what he called, they want to, you know, live a nerdy life. That's okay. Right? Et cetera. They're successful. Okay. Whatever. I don't want to live that way. But when they're not living, they're not living on the plane of Torah. Their hands are weak in Torah. And still the success is still there. Hashem is showing them success. He's shining, what he called, shining upon them. He's still being mischasid with them. He's showing chesed to them. That what he called, he doesn't abandon them, right? He doesn't abandon them immediately. So then all of a sudden, Amalek comes along. He says, heck, what he called, you know, why should they have any sort of success? They're not, what he called, they're not living that differently than I am. So he attacks. So his attack is when Klal Yisrael begins to descend into the world of Mikra, of chance. Yeah, not living on the higher plane of full attachment to Hashem through the Torah and through mitzvos. They begin to descend into the plane of what he called of Mikra, and then in turn, Amalek is able to attack. And that also, what he, as it were, shows the rest of the world, hey, the Jews are no different from us. They get longer noses, right? Right? Then because they got issues with certain genetic diseases, and what do you call it? They eat pacha and gefilte fish. But big deal. Why should they be? Why should Hashem show any favoritism to them? They came out of Mitzrayim. They crossed the Yam Suf, and what he called, and their fear, what he called, was upon all the nations. Shenamar, Shamu Amim Yergozim. All the nations. It says in Kriyas Yam Suf, all the nations heard, and they were afraid. They were trembling. Az Nivhalu Lafi Edom. They were discomfited. The leaders of Edom. They fell upon them fear, what he called terror. The Kavan, Shenizdavig Amalek lehem. But once Amalek is were attacked, Avol bisha notel eshalo. Even though he got beaten, mitachas edem he kirim b'fnei umos. He cooled off the vision of the Jewish people in front of all the nations of the world. The kolkach lama lefishibba b'sha sha'ata oyef v'yageya. They came at a time when the Jewish people were oyef v'yageya. Says the Sifsei Kohen, oyef v'yageya, oyef me'atorah v'yageya me'amitzvos. So he explains, and we'll see, Rashi doesn't explain the words that way. Oyef, right? Let's look back again, remember what it says over here. It says, right, asher korcha v'derech, right, that he attacked you, v'derech mikre, right? Like once again, not by chance that he attacked you. He attacked you when you were in a state of mikra, a state of living in a world of chance. And he would call it an easy word. That was why he had the ability to attack you, because you were living in that world of chance. And he attacked those who had been spat out by the unknown because they themselves were actually over a vera. Rashi says, means you are tired, you are weary, yeah, from not having drink. And Yageya, and you were burnt out from what he called from traveling in the derech. But the Sifsei Kohen says Ayef mea Torah v'yageya mea mitzvos. Ayef mea Torah v'yageya mea mitzvos. You are what he called tired from the Torah and weary from not doing mitzvos. Right, they ate the man by aman nivlo beivarim, and the man was absorbed into their organs. V'layan nosing b'hem koach el aidei esek haTorah. The way that the mun worked was you would eat the mun, and then by learning Torah and by keeping mitzvos the way they should be, the Torah should be learned, the way the mitzvah should be kept, it energized the mun that was inside the person that consumed, and it gave them energy. But what do you call it? When they didn't learn Torah, so the mun just sat there and they felt ayef and yageya. That's why Moshe had difficulty, what do you call, keeping his hands up to inspire the Jewish people. They fought against them all. Right? Had they been osek in Torah, they wouldn't be at all weary, because the pasuk says in Yishayahu, the koye Hashem yachlifu koach. Those who place their trust in Hashem, they always have new energy. They never get tired. Im kain ata oyef, right? Aval hu eino oyef. If you are not placing your trust in Hashem, if you are not keeping the Torah the way you should, if you're not learning the Torah the way you should, then you become tired. But your enemies, they won't be tired. Like it also says in Yeshaya, ki lo mu'af lasher mutzak lo. Right? The what he called those were not those who are coming to give you tzaras, mutzak, law, who are coming to give tzaras to the Jewish people, lo mu'af, they're not tired. In other words, the world of energy, where did the world of energy go? The world of energy goes to what he called to the enemies of the Jewish people. Such a fascinating thing. In other words, when we are what he called are living the way we should be living, then koya Hashem yachalifu koach, those who, as it were, placing their trust in Hashem and living on the plane of Torah and mitzvos, then they always have renewed and they're re-energized all the time. But when we stop keeping Torah and mitzvos the way we should, then as it were, then where does the energy level go to? It leaves us, and we have no asik, we have no koach, right? I can't get up, I can't do this, I can't do the next thing, what do you call it? I'm not excited about anything. We're living very blasé lives, and who becomes energized? The enemies of the Jewish become energized. Amar of Yochanan kol ha-metzik l'Israel eino ayoyef. Anybody who's at work comes to do tzaras to Jewish people, he never gets tired, as we saw. Right? Ubefrat sheba b'koach aviv. And especially what he called here, Esav is coming in the strength of his predecessors. Amalek is coming in the strength of his predecessors. Esav. B'koach also b'chia. Listen to this. In the koach of the crying of Esav. Shebacha shenemar v'yises kolo v'yef. When Esav knew that he lost the brachas, he raised his voice in what he called in crying, and tears came out of his eyes. Va'amru Chazal, Ein ben David ba, right? Ben David, Shiach will not come ad shiyimachu osam d'maos, until those tears, as it were, are wiped away. Shenemar Umbach Hashem Elokim Dima Mal Kol Ponim. Hashem will wipe away, yeah, the tears from from every face.
Whose face? Esav's face.
Isn't that unbelievable? This pasuk we always say, right? Anytime a person says a hesped, right? Any person says a hesped, right? So he says at the end, "Emoch Hashem yedimah kol ponim." Hashem will wipe away all the tears, right? We're talking about the Mashiach coming, the Gula coming, tears, the Mason coming, but the Medrash says, right? What tears are referring to? I'm getting it. That's the pasuk shot in the pasuk.
Why do they have tears?
Oh, But Amru Chazal, Vatashkemu b'dimos shlish, Amru b'lezer shalosh dimos horid Esav me'enav. Three tears came from Esav's eyes. We'll see in a second. Achas me'ayin yom imin, v'achas me'ayin smol, one from his right eye, one from his left eye, v'achas kshur be'enav, and one didn't fall out of his eyes, it just remained hanging there. Vatashtemu b'dimo shalish, Amr b'lezer, what do you call it? I'm sorry, we skipped it. Shenemar. Vatashtemu b'dimo shalish. Sholosh ne'emar el shalish. Shil mole yarda me'enav lo haisat kum l'soneim shel Yisrael. If he'd cried the third tear, then we never would have been able to pick ourselves up again. Amru Yisrael. So now Yisrael says, v'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'schus sholosh d'mos, shahori esav me'enav, hishtalto misofo olam v'atsofo. In the merit of those, what do you call it, those three tears, right, or the two tears that actually fell, right, you gave him dominion over, what do you call it, the entire world, from one side of the world to the other. V'nasatelo shalva, you gave him tranquility. Ba'olam hazeh, tranquility in this world. Anu shedimoseinu, anu shedimoseinu, we, who is our tears, what do you call it, mitsuya tamim, we cry yom, day and night. Because all the suffering we have to go through, etc., and all the tzaras that Esav and the others bring upon us, Allah has kama v'kama, certainly you're going to give us reward for that. Right? Right? Uba, b'siyato shel, he comes with the Yetzirah, Samael, right? The Satan, l'zeh nishma kosh brochu, she'ein Hashem sholem, v'ein hakisei sholem, Ad sheyifrom mizaro shalom molek lezeh anu omim bekadish iskadish shmei rabba, etc. He says that's why the Hashem's name will not be complete until Esav is wiped away, right? And that's why we say in kadish iskadil v'iskadish shmei rabba, may Hashem's name, right, be made great, right? His name becomes shalom. Ein akise shalom, ein Hashem shalom. Okay, so let's understand the scenario over here. Esav, we saw from the Sisse coin that Esav, right? Esav was only is mitzayer, only begins to cry when he sees the Jewish people. They're going, they're being successful. What does it mean being successful, right? He sees that they're doing okay and they're going to go to Olam Haba, right? But they don't look like they're behaving so specially. That's the only time he really is mitzayer, right? When he sees them living a different type of life, a life of Torah and mitzvot, so when he goes, he's jealous, but he doesn't get bent out of shape. Why? Because, okay, I didn't want to live that type of life. But when he sees they're not living that type of life, then he says, what the heck, why? They're going to go to Olam Haba. So then he comes to attack the Jewish people. They're going to attack the Jews because then he's angry, then he's jealous, etc. In other words, when they're living a life of mikra, when they're not living on the plane of connection to Hashem, but they're living in the same plane that all the rest of the world is living in, then Esav says, heck, why should they go to Olam Haba? Why should they have anything special? And then he comes to give us tzaras. Because that's when the tears fall out of his eyes. Right? They got it, and I didn't get it. How are they behaving so different from me? Why should they get it and I not get it? Then the tears come out of his eyes. So Klal Yisrael says, Kosh Baruch Hu, right? If you remember, but he caught his tears, and because of that, yeah, you gave him complete dominion over Olam Hazeh. He rules the world from one side to the other, right? The world went, so certainly us, how many tears have we cried from all the tzaras that he gave us, right? How many tears have we cried from all the tzaras that he gave us? Surely Hashem, what he called, you will give us what he called reward for all of those tears. So now. Let's go further. We saw before the Yalkut. We started off that the Yalkut says, and we're going to deal with this in a fashion, not the Derech Hasod, which is the way some wanted to deal with it, but rather in the Derech of Pashup Shat, right? Pashup Shat. The Yalkut said as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish, at the end of 40 years, he wanted to tell the Jewish people, guys, do you remember way back in Parshas B'Shalach, you said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin, is God in our midst or not? And after you said that, so then, right, what happened? Then Amalek attacked. Where was that place? That place is...
Who said that?
Right, that's what he called. That's what... who said which?
It's Hashem in our midst.
That's what Jewish people said. So look at the seder of the events. They came to Rephidim. Right? They came to Rephidim. They came to what he called to the place called Rephidim. Say Chazal, what does Rephidim mean? Rafu Yedeim min HaTorah. They didn't involve themselves in Torah. They didn't, what he called, they weren't toiling in Torah, whatever Torah they had, right, at that point. This is talking before Matan Torah, right? But they learned from their experiences in what he called in Mitzrayim. They could have chazed over what they saw, the lessons they learned in Mitzrayim, right? Then all the sets of the Makos, what he called, that Hashem is here, and Hashem is Beker of Aretz, and En Kamo, etc. They could have gone over the lessons they learned at Kriyas Yamsuf, right? By meaning of Hashem and Moshe Avdo, all the miracles there, he could have struggled to understand them, to connect to them, to strengthen themselves in Yimur. Rafu Yedeim in HaTorah. They weren't thinking about that. They weren't toiling in that. As a result, what did they do? They said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin. Is God in our midst or not? Look at the descent. From not being toiling in Torah, Ruffle your day in a Torah, ruffle your day in a mitzvah, by not being vibrant in Torah and mitzvahs, the next thing they're asking, is God in our midst or not? What does it mean, is God in our midst? What, they forgot the miracles? Were they crazy? Are they crazy? They've lost their minds? They haven't lost their minds. And again, we're going to hold you to Derech Pshat. What would he call Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell him, he wanted to remind him, do you remember when you said, right, Hayesh Hashem b'kibayin amayin. But he said, he didn't want to tell him that. Why? Because he said, what he called, that would be too embarrassing to them. To say, what he called, that would be like embarrassing them in public. So instead, what did he tell them? He tell them, do you remember, right, that crazy dog that attacked you, right? Way back when in Parshas B'Shalach. Who was the crazy dog? Amalek. And what was it comparable to? Says the Medrash. It was comparable to a king, right, who built he planted a pardes, a beautiful orchard. And the beloved of the king wanted to go in and steal from the orchard. And the king, he set loose this wild dog on him, right? And the dog attacked him and tore his clothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, rather than telling him, do you remember when you said, is God in our midst or not, right? He didn't say that to him. Instead, he said to him, do you remember that crazy dog that attacked you?
What happened with the crazy dog?
The crazy dog is like a Molech, right? So we asked, what does it mean that the beloved of the king wanted to steal from the orchard? So here I'm going to suggest a different parish, different from what you call maybe some of the chorus I have over here. Chazal say, when a person is nana and be olam hazeh without a bracha, he steals. He steals from what he call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he steals from Knesset Yisrael. He steals from Hashem, and he's stealing from the Shechina's presence in the world. He's stealing from Knesset Yisrael. How so? Because when a person, eats without a bracha, he's saying, what he called, of course there's God, but what does that have to do with all the mundane affairs of this world? In other words, the question of the Jewish people, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin, is God in our midst or not? They knew that Hashem did for them miracles, but maybe that's the only way he connects to us, is through miracles. But everyday life, what he called, is like everybody else's life. There's no connection. I mean, it's not like he disappears, but we're not involved over there. We live on the same plane of life as everybody else.
Who connected him to the dogs? Was Amalek?
what Amalek is like the dog. In other words, that was what the Medrash said in the Yalkut, that it was comparable to a king who made an orchard. Who made an orchard. And he recorded, and the beloved of the king, the favorite of the king, decided he was going to steal something from the orchard. The king sees he's trying to steal something from the orchard. He lets loose the dog on him and attacks him. The crazy dog. Not the crazy dog. The Kelev Shota. The Kelev Shota. The mad dog. So instead of telling, so Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of at the end of 40 years, telling him, do you remember you said, yes, Hashem, but you made your mind, do you realize that you said, you know, he's got in our midst or not? Rather than embarrassing them, he said, do you remember the crazy dog that attacked you? That way they remember, right? They remember why did the crazy dog attack them? Because they tried to steal from the king's orchard. So that's what's unfolding in front of us, right? The mitzvah of remembering Amalek, right, is we recall, it's true, we have to destroy Amalek. We have to remember what Amalek did to us, and we have to destroy Amalek. Because the essence of Amalek is the very same flaw that we fell prey to at that time. And there's a bit of Amalek, God forbid, inside of us, right, that we have to burn out and make sure is not there. Amalek, the whole essence, they're the tincture of that idea in the world, that everything is chance. They are Mr. Chance. But the Jewish people sometimes fall into a morass of living a little bit in that world of what appears to be chance. And when they do that, then they become subject to Amalek. So really, the remembering of what Amalek did to us, and the commitment to destroying Amalek, is because Amalek are the bearers of that philosophy. And it's reminding us that when did we become subject to their attacks? When we were infected with that same philosophy. When we were infected with that same philosophy. So now let's go back and look at the psukim of what he called of our thing.
What was that philosophy?
Philosophy, what he called that? In mundane affairs, God is not here, Chalila. He's not here. So now let's go back. Right? In our Parsha, in other words, we're not going to read this tomorrow, this is in Parsha's Kiseti, but Chazal noticed the juxtapositioning. The first, it talks about not having false weights and measurements. Right? The person who is living a life of false weights and measurements, right? He's living a life of false weights and measurements. So first of all, he doesn't see God's presence in his mundane life, that's for sure, right? And we're not talking about a person being overcome in passion, either of anger, right, or of desire and doing an aver. We're talking about consistently living like this. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he doesn't believe that Hashem is giving him exactly what he needs, right? And therefore, he's trying to encroach on somebody else's territory. This is the Gurari explains, right? He's trying to encroach on somebody else's territory. He's trying to take from someone else what's not really coming to him. And he thinks he can enrich himself that way. He doesn't believe that Hashem is giving him exactly everything that he needs. So now what happens? Right after that, it says, Zachor es asher asal lecha Amalek b'derech v'tzeitzchem Yisrael. Right, remember, right, you, right. I'm warning you. Don't live a life of false weights and measurements. Right, don't live a life of premeditated stealing where you think God is not involved in your mundane life, etc. Don't think that. Right, and don't think that Hashem hasn't given you exactly what you need. Now remember what Amalek did to you when you left Mitzrayim. Asher korcha baderech. Where did this happen? Where did he attack you? He attacked you in Rephidim. Rephidim. The place is called Rephidim. Rashi told us. Why is the place called Rephidim? Sherafu yedeim min haTorah. Their hands became weak in Torah. What did they say after their hands became weak in Torah? Because a person is living in toil, in Torah. Then he realizes that every part of his mundane life is just another way of being connected to Hashem. Because the Torah teaches him that where the Divrei Torah, where the name of Hashem is found in every experience, right? In every, what do you call it, every action, in every object, in every relationship. Hashem is everywhere.
But it's only a person learning Torah. A person not learning Torah. If it's not toiling in Torah, if it's roughly a day in a Torah, then we call, okay, yeah, yeah, right, well, we do our from stuff, and then there's the rest of life, right, et cetera. We lead a life, right, on the plane of chance, of mikra. Yeah, some good stroke of luck here, stroke of luck there, that's the way it goes, yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hashem is not with us. Ruffle yadim min haTorah. And then the result is, they say, Hayesh Hashem b'kibbein yamayim. Is God with us? Who says God's with us? Maybe he's not with us on a mundane level. Maybe he's not with us on a mundane level. That becomes the mashal that the Yalkut brought down. That the king's favorite, who are the king's favorite? The Jewish people. The king made a beautiful party. He made a beautiful orchard. What is that beautiful orchard? It's Olam Hazeh. This world. It's a beautiful orchard. But the, what he called the king's favorite wanted to steal from it. He didn't want to see Hashem's presence in it, what he called in every mundane act that he does. Right? He wanted to be able to do what he wanted in the mundane world. Okay, we'll have select moments where we'll connect to what he called to God. We'll have the holidays, we'll have what he called, we'll have, you know, what he called, we'll have this, we'll have that, the next thing. But day in and day out life, no. Who says God is in our midst then? That's stealing from the orchard that Hashem planted. Once he does that, he has descended into the world of Mikra. He wants to live like Mikra. So the masters of Mikra, that's Amalek, those who only the whole life, right, the whole raison d'etre, the whole Weltanschauung, right, the whole world view, their whole world view is life is chance. You want to believe there's a creator, that's okay. You want to believe even the world to come, fine, religion is the opium of the people, that's okay also. But to believe that, what he called, that Hashem is connected to us, on what he called here and now, no way. So when we as it were, yeah, descend into that world of Mikra, by saying that Hashem is not involved in our modern lives, then the masters of Mikra attach us. They attack us. Zechor asher aslacha amolik b'derek v'teisim mitzvah asher korcha, a lashon of Mikra. He attacks us. Not by chance he attacks us, but he attacks us with the methodology of Mikra. Why? Because we have descended into the plane of Mikra. And who is he able to attack? But primarily those who are the weakest, those who are weakest in their attachment to Hashem. So Rashi says, you're a yef from thirst, and you're a geya from the derech, right? But what he calls, the Sifsi Kohen says, you're a yef, what he calls from lack of Torah, and you're geya from mitzvot. But it's two sides of the same coin. It's two sides of the same coin. Because you are weak, because you're weak in Torah, and you're weary from mitzvos, then the result, right, because that's not life, that's just the stuff that God is piling up on top, we've got to do that also, man alive, I can't take it, that we don't find any vibrance in, then we have no vibrance in life also, then what he calls, then the events of life tire us out. We're tired for lack of water, we're weary from what he calls, from the journey, we don't live with energy. If we were attached to Torah mitzvah, we'd always be living vibrantly. Not just in the Torah mitzvah, but all part of life would be vibrant. Everything is an exciting moment. Everything is another opportunity. Is it worth to find Hashem's presence in the most mundane things, in the difficult parts of life, as well as the successes of life. But we're ayef and yageya, both in Torah mitzvahs and from lack of drink and from the weariness of the derech. The lo yarei Elokim, and not God fearing. We said before, there were some opinions in the Medrash say lo yarei Elokim is referring to Amalek. Some say it's referring to us, and so too in the Mefarshim, because really it's two sides of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin. When we would call, when we lack yarei Elokim, yeah. So the Amalek would call is not afraid to attack us, because they're not yarei Elokim. They're the masters of yarei Elokim. And the goal is we should always remember what Amalek did to us, right? And now that we've learned this a little bit better, right, we should understand how they were able to do it to us, right? Because they're the masters of this tremendous deficiency in the way that people sometimes lead their lives. We suffer from it, as it were, upon occasion, or God forbid, unfortunately, sometimes more than just on occasion. They're the masters of this deficiency, and therefore they have to be wiped off, right? They have to be destroyed, because a person always has to know that every part of life has meaning, only has real existence if he's living in attachment to Hashem. Timcha zechra molim tachas hashamayim lo tishkach. Destroy them forever. Don't forget.
Don't forget. Don't forget. Because the evil inside of us, yeah, is what made them able to attack us, because they are the masters of that very same evil. We have to eradicate that concept.
Very good.
Okay, Mr. Hashem, we should be kind, we should parsha Zohar properly. And we should be Zohar to a Gavaldik at Purim. So, right? Right? Lahudi Maisa Orvis and Kapasavikar. Pain TM. You okay?